Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Okay, it's about 11:40 in the morning Eastern Time right now. Markets are generally flat to down a little bit. Obviously, the continued uncertainty with the war in Ukraine. Right now, the Dow's down 0.47%, down about 0.5%. S&P 500 down 0.53%, and NASDAQ Composite down 1.15%. And you know what, all this uncertainty and volatility, markets could be all over the place today, tomorrow. You know, we'll see what's going on. All right. So obviously, you know, you can keep up as well as myself or anybody else, the constantly changing situation in Ukraine. We do have some things going on, though. Basically, some of the big Russian companies, you know, they're publicly traded stock. A lot of them don't actually trade in the United States. They trade on the London Stock Exchange. And now they've been halted. The few that did trade here in the New York Stock Exchange, I believe, have already been halted. But one of the big ones is, I think it's pronounced Sberbank. It's S-B-E-R Bank, all one word. It's like one of the biggest Russian banks, has now been cut off from the world financial systems. And it says they've been halted now after being down 99.72%. I think they're trading for a penny a share. Another one, Gazprom, G-A-Z-P-R-O-M, down 94%. Luke Oil down 99.2%. Polyus, P-O-L-Y-U-S, down 95.6%. Now, there could be some possible, obviously, opportunities here. If the situation in Russia were to suddenly change, which obviously it may or may not, an example being President Putin suddenly removed from power, whoever replaces him announces a complete withdrawal from Ukraine and willingness to pay for war damages. I mean, that's obviously, you know, a scenario could happen. And all of a sudden, these stocks start trading again. They could shoot right back up. So something to look at. I mentioned the other day that Van Eck Russia fund that I was talking about. That's one in the United States that has, you know, more pure exposure here in the United States. The Van Eck Russia fund, RSX, is their trading symbol. And I believe they are still going down. They are still trading, though. This is one that is still trading, if you're somewhat pure play in the Russian stock market. RSX, Ralph Sam X-Ray, yeah, it's down another 18.6% right now. To give you an idea, about a week ago, it was trading, I believe it was around, let me check here. Well, February 16th, we'll say middle of February, before, you know, people start getting nervous about what might happen. This thing was trading at $25.54 a share. It's down at $5.88 now. That could be another play. We'll see. Obviously, you got $5.88 on the downside and potentially a lot of upside. So something to keep an eye on. All right, so we got that. What else we got going on here? Last time I talked about these Russian billionaires telling their crews to start sailing their yachts away, feeling they might be seized. Well, that's starting to happen now. France has just seized a big Russian billionaire's yacht. And I guess that just happened in the last day or so. So, you know, it's starting to hit them where it hurts, stuff like that. So, yep, said March 2nd, that was yesterday, they have seized this 280-foot yacht. All right, so we have that going on. All right, what else we got going on here? We've also got the big Russian airline. You may have heard of it, Aeroflot. You might even see it sometimes at the airports. Well, the big software giant Sabre, a lot of airline reservations go through them. They're based out of Texas, and they said they have terminated its agreement with Aeroflot. They said that will now cripple Russia's largest airline's ability to sell seats. So that's another thing going on there. Here in the United States, and we got some other news to talk about. You've also got some retailers now starting to issue warnings that their sales numbers may start to come in a little bit less than expected for this quarter, as they have now terminated operations in Russia. And so they're starting to just let everybody know. I don't think it's a big surprise. Obviously, it depends on their exposure there. But, you know, Russia is a big, big market. You know, population, I'd have to check. I think it's like 190 million people, although they have had a declining population for a while. One thing about Russia, though, they only have the world's 12th largest economy. They used to have the top eight. They were part of what was known as the G8, eight largest economies in the world. Their economy continues to shrink even before all this with Ukraine. And they're now the 12th largest economy in the world, approximately the same size as Italy, a much smaller country. So anyway, you're going to be seeing that now from these retailers. But that's starting to be factored into stock. Apple has announced it has ceased operations in Russia. A couple that warned today, though, Victoria's Secret and American Eagle, said uncertainty created by the war could weigh on their business in the first quarter and potentially beyond. So I think that's kind of anticipated. So probably quite a few more companies also. All right, so we got that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, so let's talk now about, oil and wheat. I wanted to mention that. I mentioned on the other day's session that, you know, three things that could be affected immediately by the issues, economic sanctions and so forth. Now embargoes being placed on Russian goods. I mentioned oil, wheat, and metals, and we're seeing rapid price increases in all of those. The oil one is probably the one you hear the most about. Right now, here in the United States, we use a West Texas crude, oilprice.com. I'll give you a price there, about $110 a barrel right now. So that's still going up, and that's obviously going to affect gas prices and so forth. Russia is a major exporter of oil. It is the world's third largest oil producer. Number one is actually the United States. United States is the world's largest oil producer. Saudi Arabia second, Russia third. However, Russia is the biggest exporter. And obviously, the thing is, that's going to affect oil, gasoline prices and so forth. The thing is, there is enough oil out there. The other countries could begin producing enough oil to make up a good portion of the Russian oil. The problem there, though, it's not easy to shrink it back down again. You got everything running full capacity, open more refineries. This stuff takes time. And then suddenly things in Russia change and the oil flows again. Now you got an oversupply on the market. So, but we'll have to keep an eye on that. Oh, yeah, wheat's been hitting record highs. The price is up 50% in the last week. It doesn't especially mean bread prices are going to go up that much. It's a little more complex than that, but it could drive that up. The thing about it, the United States and Russia are two of the world's largest wheat producers. And with Russian wheat now being cut off from the world market, the United States does not really buy wheat from Russia. If we do very small amounts, we produce our own. The thing is, though, if you've got you got the other countries of the world that would normally buy from Russia, obviously looking to buy from the United States, and that's great, you know, if you're a wheat farmer or investor, but it's going to drive those prices up. Another day, I'll talk about what are known as commodities futures contracts. By the way, barchart.com is a website you can check on this. Wheat May 22 futures. In very simple terms, what this is, you have investors that will come into a farmer in the Midwest and say, look, I'll buy all your wheat from you as soon as it's grown. At a guaranteed price. The idea is that the farmer knows exactly what they're getting for their wheat. They measure it in bushels. And the investor is willing to take the financial risk, you know, that they can hopefully sell the wheat, resell it at a higher price on the world market, which is what's happening now. Or they're willing to take the financial risk. They have to sell it for less than they paid. The idea of a futures market, You're buying something for future dates delivery versus a spot market where you buy something right now. Like you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and order a meal and drive away. It's a spot purchase. Future purchase, you're agreeing to buy something in the future at a guaranteed price. What these markets do, they take the risk away from the farmer who doesn't want the risk to the moves it to the investor who will take the risk. Well, the thing about this, though, as an investor, you only have to put down a very small amount of money per dollar And so it's very highly leveraged. It's called very high risk. But I'll talk about futures markets another day. But we're seeing about 50% increase in wheat. And we're also seeing that in some of the metals markets also. Russia, big supplier of metals. All right. So we got all that news out there. All right, so what else we got? Some more mundane stuff. AMC Theaters announced we got the Batman movie coming out on Friday, getting massively great reviews. IGN, that's that video game website that also reviews movies. They gave it only the fifth perfect 10 score ever. I mean, obviously, it's what the fans are going to think, but the critics love it. All right, so AMC has announced they're going to be charging higher prices to see the Batman. They haven't announced as of yet what those prices will be. My guess is they'll probably get away with it as long as it's not a ridiculous price increase. I mean, you got the fans want to go see this movie, The Batman. And I don't know, I'll just make a number up. Say tickets are normally $11, and some places they're higher, matinees they're lower, but say it's 11, and all of a sudden the fans find out, you know, it's $12 now, another dollar. You know what? They're going to pay it. They're going to pay it. That's the concept of price elasticity that I've talked about in the past. When something does not have an easy substitute in a consumer's mind, like the Batman movie, or like going to Disney World or something, they're willing to pay higher prices. Basically, these companies can raise their prices without seeing an equal drop in demand, as long as you don't get ridiculous about it. So it has to do with availability of a substitute. Now, if it's Ajax and Comet, a lot of consumers are not that different from each other. One raises their price, they'll lose more than the price they raise percentage-wise in sales to the other one. The other factor is how big a percentage of somebody's budget is it. $11 or $12 is probably, whether it's another $11 or $12, it's probably not going to break somebody. But, you know, if it's a $40,000 car and, you know, suddenly you go to buy it, now it's gone up by 10%, you know, 25% to $50,000, somebody might shy away from that. It's a big part of somebody's budget. But if they're an NBA basketball player making $30 million a year and they want the car, so what? But, you know, if it's like those, you go to a cracker machine, like those toasty crackers you see in a machine, you're starving. They're normally a dollar. Now it's $1.25. That's also a 25% increase, but you'll probably pay it because it's not that big a part of your budget. So my guess is AMC. We'll see how it goes. What they're seeing with the theaters, I talked about this before. People are going back for the big movies like Spider-Man, but they're not going back for the smaller movies. And so they're going to try it, and let's see. I know theaters in Europe have done this for years. And a key will be what happens in weeks like 3, 4. For these movies to be successful, you got to get the casual fans to start going, you know, okay, I'll go see The Batman. And, you know, are they going to keep those higher prices for them or not? So we'll just have to see. All right, so we got that news. Federal Reserve. All right, so they're anticipated to raise interest rates this month in March. The anticipation was it was going to be a 0.25% increase. And then with the higher than expected inflation we've had, it was anticipated now by the markets to be a 0.5% increase. But now with the things going on with the world markets, Russia's being squeezed by the hour now economically with these sanctions. They're beginning to feel it now, the government, the citizens. But anyway, now the anticipation is it might be a 0.25%. But then some Fed, Cleveland Fed, Federal Reserve President Loretta Mester, she said this morning, higher interest rate hikes might be needed later in the year if we start getting higher than anticipated inflation. Again, it's hard to say. This, you know, these economic sanctions could be in place for months or years. The markets will adjust over time. Or they could end quickly. I mean, you know, it could be a power change in Russia and all of a sudden they're yanked out by the weekend or next week. It's just impossible to forecast. And, you know, the thing is, as the world economies and markets begin to adjust to a market without Russia, basically, and then suddenly Russia re-enters the market, you've got to look at the issues there also. So we ran into the same issues, by the way, in 1945. You know, Germany was anticipated to surrender more or less when it did. The country had been physically overrun with troops, but the war in Japan was expected to continue on to probably 1947, 1948. Even the Pentagon even estimated 1949 in some cases. And then suddenly the atomic bombs, the war's over. And it was a disruption to world economies that were on war footing, but they adjusted quickly enough. But all right, so we'll keep an eye what's going on there. And to wrap things up today, we just have a few stocks making the news, and we'll call it a day. Yeah, you got Best Buy. Best Buy is actually up. They actually released their financial numbers. BBY, Boy Boy Yellow, is their symbol. The numbers, sales numbers came in less than expected for the holiday season. They said it was mostly due to supply chain issues. In other words, they just couldn't get what the consumers wanted. But the stock is up now 8% because they announced they're raising their dividend, their quarterly dividend. So a dividend is a cut of a company's profits, and companies are reluctant to ever lower a dividend. They'll actually pay it out of retained earnings if they have to. So whenever a company announces it's raising a dividend, that means management is comfortable enough with the numbers that they can sustain at the higher level. So that's what the news is with Best Buy. Just a couple of others here. I wanted to also mention Snowflake, symbol Snow. A cloud storage company. And I believe that's what they do. It's somewhat technology. They're down 16%, 15.7 right now, actually, on lower than expected earnings. On the other side, Box. Now, they're a cloud storage company, BOX. I've talked about this company in the past. And they're up another 3.2%. This is a company that's been actually kind of up and down, but generally they've been doing pretty well, although it is volatile. They're recording better than expected results. So we have that also. And also Kroger, Publix, Publix Supermarkets, which is a privately held company here in Florida, but they just announced sales of $48 billion. And that's their all-time record. And so they're doing really, really well. And Kroger, which is a publicly traded supermarket chain, symbol KR, King Robert, up 9.2% on better than expected earnings. So yeah, I think we still got some good plays in supermarkets. You know, people, I mean, there's some people, I think, just get out just to go to a supermarket. But obviously with more people home, you know, still working from home and so forth, you got people shopping at supermarkets. So keep an eye on those. Sometimes supermarket chains don't get a lot of publicity with the markets, but they can be good investments. All right. So we're going to call it a day here. Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Hope everyone's doing well. And I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.